Love in Real Time brought to you by Corbin Foster Publishing at CorbinFosterMedia.com. That's CorbinFosterMedia.com. And this is a CorbinCast podcast. Well, hello there. My name is Greg.
I'm Nikki.
And it's good to have you along with us on this brand new podcast called Love in Real Time. Love in Real Time. I put the gooiness on the real time instead of love the first time. That didn't work very well.
That's all right.
But that's what this podcast, the subtitle, by the way, is I Really Liked Your Profile. Aren't we sweet?
Yes.
And we are kind of sort of the subject of this podcast while at the same time being hopefully your host through this big adventure. As we think about what it means to date, I originally was thinking I was going to say dating midlife, but I realize I'm probably a tad bit beyond midlife at this point anyway, so I wouldn't qualify for that either. But what we're going to do is we're going to tell our story as it unfolds, give you a chance to look at us in our dating process, having met on a Christian dating app or a faith-based dating app. We're going to give our thoughts on what Christian dating means or faith-based dating and the pitfalls thereof. Hopefully share some encouragement and good advice. Advice, definitely.
Yes.
Good advice remains to be seen. We're going to tell the stories of some folks we know who've also been through this experience, and we're going to interact with our community. That is you. All those of you who are hopeful, but perhaps hurting as you are looking for love in all the digital spaces. And we're thankful that you joined us here. We're going to tell you a little bit about our story together and what brought us together as we join you on this journey, wherever you are, whether you're a young dater. But I think being older daters, there's kind of some weirdness there, isn't there?
I'm going to need you to back that train up, sir. Older daters?
Yeah, we're not on our space or whatever it is yet, or
our time.
Yeah. Although I think I'm eligible for it. Yes. And this is a weird area too, this idea of what is Christian dating and what's a Christian dating app. Because there's a lot of apps out there that definitely ain't Christian dating.
Yes.
If you know what I mean. But it's questionable, I guess, sometimes. Are the ones that call themselves faith-based, are they really truly? What is Christian? Can an app be a Christian? I don't think it probably cannot. But faith-based, yes. So we met on
Upward.
Upward app.
Yes.
What drew you to Upward?
I had a young woman that I know who actually just recently got married after meeting her person on Upward.
Nice.
Yes.
I like the way you said that. Her person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her person, her guy, her fella.
The love of her life.
The love of her life.
Awesome.
Mm. Yes.
I found it on, I think I saw an ad on social media, and I had been kind of in and out of different dating apps, looking at them, not really sure what to use. I had some experience with some in the past. You know, obviously the other big faith-based app right now is Christian Mingle. eHarmony kind of started off with that idea of being, I think, faith-based, but they've kind of went in some different directions over time, I think, as
That's
well.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And each one kind of has their own thing, although a lot of them have the commonality of you look at the people's profile picture and you decide, do I like their picture? Mm-hmm. Do I think they're pretty? And you discover really quick in doing dating like this that everybody can take one good picture.
And everybody can filter.
That's right.
All their pictures.
Okay.
So tell me.
Yeah.
Did you put filters on your pictures?
I only used a processing filter. So I'm not highly filtered as far as the plastic face looking thing or changing the dimensions of my face or my eyes just to kind of soften the colors a little bit. But yeah.
You heard it here first, ladies.
That's right. But I have to see, I mean, this is real and unfiltered, and you can see why I would want to do a little processing on this thing right here. Okay? So,
I did not use any filters because, I don't know how to use a filter, and B, I'm already unfiltered as it is, so I'm trying to keep it G and PG on here. So.
Yeah. Well, I will say I really made an effort on what I used to make sure that it looked real, which is a big thing that I think is so important is to be real. And of course, the other thing these things are generally based upon is a profile. With Upward, what you do is you swipe left if you don't particularly care for what you saw there, right. Or you swipe right if you want to like them. And if that person also likes you, it's a match.
Yes.
And then you can talk to one another.
Yes.
And so that's at the point in which we met. Now, as far as where we came from to get to this point, I think we're both, we are definitely both people of faith.
Yes.
Looking for somebody who loved Jesus. But that's, by the way, not all that this podcast, I mean, if you're not a faith-based person, we hope that you find something useful in this podcast as well, but we are coming from a faith-based perspective. So
correct.
That's just who we are. And that's a challenge too on these apps is finding somebody who really matches. I mean, you don't have to be a perfect theological match. I mean, there's always the essentials, but finding somebody who's just at least in the same state,
yes.
Let alone planet as you.
Yes, because I have seen a few who are out there.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really gone.
Yeah.
So I just don't, I would rather not go there. That's okay.
And I, by the way, I should mention this point in time that you're still just as purdy as you were when I saw you on that picture.
So, you're so sweet. Yeah,
thank you. I am.
let me just interrupt you.
Uh-huh.
I want the audience to know a little bit about where you came from. So,
okay.
You know, give us the elevator pitch of who elevator Greg pitch. Is.
So I was heading to the fifth floor, but I accidentally hit the third floor, got off there, and I've been lost ever since. And that, by the way, is more that is a true story. Elevators are interesting things too, but that's another story. I was raised in a family that was in the church all the time. It was one of those things. Remember when church doors actually used to be open all the time? We were always there. And I was just raised in that sort of environment. I was, I had a great relationship with the church. I had to learn in my life to have a strong relationship with Jesus. And so that was kind of the pivot point for me. But I was married to Barbara for 25 years. We actually dated for a very short period of time. We knew it was the right thing and have a daughter together. And now I have two grandchildren. Barbara passed away. It's almost 10 years ago. It was in February of 2015 after a long-term illness. And I just feel like I've been lost ever since then. And, you know, I've realized, so this is a pitfall some of us can fall into. We look for somebody who's just like what we had.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that was going to be a problem. So I made sure that I disabused myself of that idea and instead just wanted to look for somebody who I just enjoyed being with, somebody I wanted to spend time with. And divorce entered into my picture. I never, ever thought that would be the case, but it did. And I've had some really rough relationship issues, been through some trauma in that as well. And then the dating life has been an interesting challenge, as I know it has been for you too. Isn't it interesting, some of the conversations?
Yes.
Now, did you have conversations that just kind of started off like, oh, there might be something here, but then they just faded?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, my journey in relationships started when I was very young, and then I divorced after 16 years of marriage. Mm-hmm. I have two beautiful daughters, three gorgeous grandchildren, and I am just blessed to have that, you know, just that from that marriage. But, you know, after that, it was just like, I did feel lost as well.
Mm.
I felt like, okay, there is nobody else out there for me. And I wasn't looking exactly for someone to look or act the way that the person did before me, but I did want to have someone that I shared interest with, someone
sure.
I could serve with, someone I could go to church with, someone I wanted to travel with and who would love my family. And, you know, and so that alone was, you know, very hard to do, very hard to do. So there you go.
And now here we are, and we're really putting ourselves out there just a little bit because we're still at a very young point in our relationship. But you had this really interesting idea that wouldn't it be interesting to just kind of put ourselves out there? Why? Where did that idea come from?
Came straight from my hip. I just thought, I mean, you know, I felt like God put it on my heart to just, you know, like, it's okay.
And hip.
And my hip.
Yes.
To put ourselves out there. Uh-huh. And when you were like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I'm like, okay, let's go. Yeah. Because sometimes people need to see that real stuff happens. Everybody's not perfect. It's not like the relationships that you see that are perfect on television or on some short video on social media. This is real in real time. Mm-hmm. And so if things don't work out between you and I along the way, I hope and pray that we are able to come together and let our audience know, hey, this is,
love
this
in real
is
time.
The way it is. Yeah. Yeah.
And I hope that it doesn't come to that point, but you're right. That's been part of our conversation. What do we do if, can we have the wherewithal to come together for one final podcast and say, oh,
yeah,
this is not okay, but we're going to be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we've been, we connected in October.
Yes.
And this has been, we're recording this first. I'm not sure when we're going to air this first, but we're recording it in January of 2025. I just do that as a little date mark so people know, since we're talking about love in real time, where we are in our relationship. I guess in case somebody in the future comes back and watches this and wonders where they are today.
Yes.
We'll start right there. We started with this conversation on Upward, and it went something like this. We had the match, and so I made the first comment. I said, hi, Nikki. What a beautiful smile you have. And you do, by the way.
Thank you.
Is that not just the most beautiful smile? You look like you really light up a room. Now, when you saw that, I was trying to be natural. I wanted to communicate and try to find a good point. What was your initial response when you saw that?
Well, when I saw that, it made me feel good. Mm-hmm. Because I pride myself on good dental hygiene. No, I think that, you know, you noticing and making a compliment that was heartfelt and that wasn't raunchy or rude was great. And I think that that meant a lot. So, you know, in today's world, it's so not like that. And I do want women to know that it's okay when a man gives you a compliment that is as simple as, I really like your smile, and that it can mean a lot when they say something like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
One of the things I also did in that initial correspondence was I realized that for women especially, online dating can be a scary place. It can be a weird world. And so I wanted to try to do a few things to break that down. I don't know how successful I was, but you know, I told you specifically the city I lived in. I decided I'm going to put myself out there. Mm-hmm. I also started off right away of giving you my full name.
Yeah, you did.
Which is kind of getting out there just a little bit, but I have an online presence. I write books and I have a history as a pastor and have done a lot of media work. So I knew that you'd be able to find me, hopefully, but then it turns out you're not real technologically inclined.
I'm not, but you know who really did a great job looking you up?
Your daughter?
Every single female in my life. All my daughters and all of the little friends that I have in my life, they all did a great job doing their due diligence. I mean, pinned you right down to the very place you live. And and so it was great. It was great.
And they even, did they go on Google Maps and look at
they
all that
Google
good stuff?
Mapped yeah. everything, yes.
You can do that. It's interesting how easy it is to track somebody online these days, even if you don't have much of an online presence. It doesn't take much to find it, which is also the scary thing. And that's why women need to be careful, I guess.
Yes. In this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think that I gave too much information about myself.
No.
And I just kept it. I kept it very basic. I gave you basic information. And then I believe I did let you know that I'm not really into text messaging.
Yes.
So I actually loathe text messaging, and I think it's from the devil.
Well, that's a bad theology, but we can we're going to preach to you. No, I don't know. I get that. I mean, I didn't like texting when it first came around as a thing as well. I've kind of come around to it just because it's just an easy way to communicate. But one thing you did, and this is very typical in the conversations that I started, is I could see you holding back a little bit, and I expected it, and I wanted that for you, because one of the things that was important to me was whoever I communicated with, I wanted to give them space to feel comfortable and to not pressure them, to give them information about me, but not ask them like, so where do you work? Where do you live? What's your phone number? Can I get a hold of you? Can I call you? Can we get, not too quickly. Now, again, we move quickly into a phone conversation. Your first response to me was, I think like 2 weeks later.
It was 2 weeks later.
mid-October to close to the end of October.
So I was, I didn't have any notifications on or anything. And I wasn't the type that was checking it every day. So I responded, "Hi, Greg. Sorry for the late response. Delay. Sorry about that. I'm glad that you gave me all your information, and was nice to meet you, Mr. Fish. And I hope that this is not a phishing scheme."
That's right. And you even made mention of the spelling of my last name.
Yes.
And I like the use of the emojis that she used as well. That's all. That is actually a comforting thing in these, to throw in the emojis so people know at least a little, because it's so hard to convey your personality and whether you're smiling or laughing or dead serious when you're writing something. So those emojis can be a little bit in the helpful side sometimes. You responded, and then came the learning curve that Nikki was not a texter kind of person. And by the way, this all happened in the app. Now, one thing also that I was always really sure that I wanted to do was in creating space for getting together the first time, to meet you somewhere and not, I mean, to tell you that I would be willing to stop and pick you up, because I wanted, I am a gentleman. That's the way I was raised. But I understand in this day and age, I would not recommend for any woman to allow an unknown dude to pick her up at her place.
And never, never. Ladies, no.
Yeah.
Just no. Hmm. Absolutely not. And meet someplace where you have friends nearby. And that way it can be, a quick phone call or a quick text message, and you can extricate yourself.
So when we met for the first time, you have a support crew who knew exactly what you were doing at that point in time?
I did. And they were actually in the restaurant.
Oh, really? Were they some who stopped by to talk to you?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that. I'm learning something new here. Love in real time. Greg was being set up. I'm kind of disgusted now. No. As I think all of this. So some of the people there were your support group.
They were my support group. Obviously, you met my daughter, one of my daughters. She was there. And
I don't remember.
Yes. Yes.
So did you have like a signal that if you do this, like Seinfeld, if you see me doing this, come and rescue me, come and extricate me from this situation. I don't remember her being there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did she come by the table?
She did. Look at that. It's just.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I just.
In such a daze that night.
I just dropped that on him just now in real time. So just letting you know.
So we met at a restaurant that you were familiar with, obviously.
Yes.
And I didn't know any in the area. So that was another thing I struggled with, was asking you for suggestions. How did you feel about that? Were you comfortable? I mean, because obviously it allowed you to set up a space you felt safe in. Did you like that idea of me letting you
recommend? I did. Absolutely. I did, because it made me feel like I had some control over it. And that way I could set up if I needed, you know, an out or something like that. So it made me feel comfortable and I didn't have to drive so very far away to get to someplace. And it was, it just worked out really well for me.
One of the other things that I always throughout my life have done on a first date is the flowers thing, because I don't know if, is that old fashioned? I don't know, but I, you know, just buy a very simple flower thing. And, but I felt funny about taking it into the restaurant. And I also felt like if this thing goes south, she ain't getting my flowers.
You see, and that's, here we go. I thought that I was special, ladies. I didn't know that this was something that he did all the time. Now I know that I'm not special.
No, you believe me, you are special, but you are special in so many ways. you can obviously see where our relationship is, has really bloomed, by the way, here, and we can do this with each other now. But so, yeah, I mean, when we finished up, I asked if you minded walking to my car, so I had a little something for you. And I felt bold enough, even being an author, I think I gave you one of my books. It was my thought, I want to help her get to know me a little better. So out of curiosity, giving you something so intensely personal as a book I had written, recommend, not that everybody out there has written a book, but the gift giving thing. What's your take on the gift giving thing?
I love gifts.
Okay.
I love receiving gifts. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked and surprised by the flowers. Mm. And then when you gave me your book, I know that you had talked about it, but we hadn't really discussed, you know, that you were going to give me one. So I thought that that was super sweet.
Sure. I didn't walk you home or anything like that. Didn't take you. You went back home that evening. Again, a very wise thing. But just let's talk now about when we walked away from that first date. What we walked away with, are the way we processed. And I will tell you, because I really had my guard up. I'd been through some really interesting date challenges already. I can't tell you I was perfect in any of them. Just trying to feel my way through what it means for me to date again, after allowing myself enough space to heal from past trauma. And so I think the first time when I walked away from that experience, I was still very, very guarded. I liked you very much. I enjoyed our conversation very much, but I really felt myself saying this is just a first meeting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to invest emotions or feelings beyond the thinking, well, this was nice. Yeah. This was nice. And you?
I agree. I actually think I told you several times to guard your heart. And those words have been, pardon me, a little congested today, but those words have been.
I thought
been,
you were going to cry.
No.
Okay.
Those words have been very good counsel to me, wise words, and just knowing that you need to guard your heart. You need to, you know, not put yourself out there so quickly that it, you know, all of a sudden you're just broken if something happens.
And part of, I realize what Greg has done in the past is that I attach really quickly emotion. I'm a very deep emotional person. For those of you who are familiar with the Enneagram, I'm an Enneagram 4. Yes, I am the weirdo of the Enneagram. but I attach so quickly, and I promised myself this time in dating that I wouldn't do that. In fact, I promised myself this way. If I see red flags, which when I've stepped into traumatic things in the past, I saw red flags and I ignored them because I thought, oh, but there's this good stuff. The green flags waving over here. Look at the pretty green flags. Yeah, red flags. I see you waving, but the pretty green flags. If we just keep walking towards the green flags, we can walk away from the red flags. And so I promised myself this time, if I saw red flags, and I had done a pretty good job of it. There were, you know, it happened several times. There were several conversations I had again that just faded off, but there were several that were red flag conversations. Yeah. It was like, okay, thanks. Nice to know you. Have a nice day. Are you a red flag watcher?
Yes, definitely. I try my best to allow my gut to tell me. And so I go from there and just pray about it, trust God. And I found myself with you.
And it's interesting. And that date happened, what, just towards the beginning of November, I'm guessing, yes. Somewhere around that location. I know it's bad that I don't remember the exact date off the top. You don't either, though, do you? I can tell that. Okay, I feel better now. As I recall, so it's hard for me to remember already exactly how that came together, because you and I have gone down so many roads together already, building our relationship. But I'm pretty sure I texted you did I text or call when I got home?
I think you texted.
Okay.
And,
whoops.
And then, I think you texted, let me know you got home safely, and then you called. Mm. So.
Now, one thing that I did, because at that point in time, I didn't realize your aversion to texting. So I know that I continued to text you to kind of feel things out at this point in time. I wanted to kind of feel, okay, do we have something to move forward on? Right. And so I know it was a combination of texting and phone calls. After you had a chance to process everything, where were you on this dating this Greg guy conversation?
I was like, okay, I'm ready to try this out. I told my kids, I'm like, at first they didn't know I was going out on a date. First of all, a couple of my daughters didn't know. And my bonus daughter knew.
Yes.
But I just kind of tried to keep it to myself because I didn't want to get excited. And so I just kept my expectations really low.
So we can talk more about our dating progress, but I'm kind of curious, was there a point we're working over a couple of months here now through two holiday seasons, Thanksgiving, yes, and Christmas, and New Year's.
And New Year's, yes.
When was there a point in time when you felt like there was an aha moment that, oh, this is more than just somebody I'm meeting. I feel like this is moving towards something good. Did you have that, or was it more gradual?
I think it was gradual, but I believe that our second date, mm-hmm, when I...
You did something that surprised me.
I did a no-no. I came over to his house to help him decorate for Christmas. And that was date two. And I got in so much trouble with my kids for doing that. But I just knew that I would be okay. And I knew that I wanted to do this for you. So
there was an early sense, I noticed it too with you, of trust.
Yes.
And I think one of the early things that kept me hanging in there too is, even though we talk about how important it is for a woman to trust the dude, I mean, rest assured, guys got to trust the woman as well, because absolutely, there's all sorts of interesting different personalities out there. Let's just put it that way.
Yes.
In this process and throughout my life, I've learned that not everybody is for everybody.
That's right.
Somebody who's not right for you, that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with them. It just means that you and them are not a good combination. Right. And if nothing else, I've kind of learned to intuit that. And I just connected with you right away in a positive way that even though I was keeping my guard up, I did feel, and that Christmas decorating opportunity, because I hadn't had good Christmas celebrations for a little while in my life. And that was something so meaningful, because I love Christmas and I love decorating. Uh-huh. And you came and you were a big help in doing that, even though, that can be a risky thing because everybody's got different ideas.
Sure.
I had a brand new Christmas tree you helped me put up and decorate. You even gave me some decorations that were so sweet and so thoughtful. That was another thing early on. So she gives me some Christmas ornaments, Indiana Jones Christmas ornaments, which told me she had been listening. And that's another thing I tried to do too, is listen.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I may have told you this, but I taught myself to become a note taker.
Okay.
So in our conversations, when you would say something, I'm terrible, terrible, terrible at remembering things. So I would start making notes.
Okay.
And your Christmas presents reflected a lot of that.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. It's actually really great when two people can connect and they're listening to each other and they are, you're making notes and I'm listening. I might not be making notes, but, you know, there's this feeling that I have and I hear you and I want to make you happy and you want to make me happy. And there's just this connection. And so you move forward based off of those feelings and based off of what's going on, mm-hmm. and you continue to grow from there. So I just think that's where I found mm-hmm. peace with everything with you. And that's where I continue to find the peace and the joy with you.
Wow. Appreciate that. You know, connecting with you on a faith level has been so important to me, being able to establish that we both love Jesus. That was important to us. And for me, I think an early connector as well was this connection of our faith together. Here's something that initially told me, oh my goodness, this is somebody really special. And that is, one of my important ethics was to find somebody that I could pray with. And so early in our conversations, I don't remember at what point, but I started asking if there's anything I can pray for you.
I actually remember it was the night when I was leaving here after decorating.
Oh.
And I got home and you said, I was going to ask you if we could pray together. And I said, I love that idea. And then we started praying together that night on the phone. And then since then, we've prayed together almost every single night. And so that has been just life-changing for me to find someone who wants to pray for me and wants to pray with me and finds that important.
And, you know, as far as the ethic for me, and I don't say this as a criticism of any of the folks I've been, you know, having walked with in any sort of way, but for the thing that has connected me with you, the thing that has continued my feelings towards you is that not only did you allow me to pray, but you prayed as well. And that was just so important to me because it's beautiful to be able to pray with somebody and voice the prayer. But then to hear that person pray and to hear them pray for you, there was just something so connectional about that. And I think that that was definitely a big, when I was talking with my sister about this early on, my sister is very protective of me, but as I was talking to her early on, that was one thing I brought up. And I knew I had talked to her about, she knew how much I valued prayer and relationship, but I had not had the ability to have, since the time I had been with my wife of 25 years who would pray with me, I'd never had anybody who would also voice the prayer. And I don't know if I have told you that before, but that was, so there's my little surprise tidbit for you. That has been something that has meant the world to me, is to hear you pray with me as well.
Yeah. It means a lot.
So we're going to continue this conversation as we continue our relationship. We are going to continue out of the season of Valentine's Day to talk about what it looks like to experience a first holiday together and to do the scary thing of meeting each other's families.
Ooh, that's for another season.
That's for another day. But one of the things that we want to do with you that has been important to us that we just talked about is we want to also pray with you. We want to be a blessing to you in this podcast. So we decided that we are going to end these podcasts with a prayer, just a very simple prayer. And both of us just say a very short little prayer for our listener out of our heart to kind of give you an idea of what things look like in our more private conversations and praying for each other. So let us do that for you. And over the course of time, if you have something you would like for us to pray about, feel free to leave that in any of these comment sections. We'll do our best to keep our eye on them. I hope eventually to have an email address that you can actually send us an email. I don't have that today, but we will have that for you. But we would love for you to interact with us. So if there are things we can pray about for you, maybe not even here, but as we pray, we would love to interact with you in that way as well. So let's pray together. Father, we don't know who we are touching out there, but we know that there's somebody out there who is going on this journey with us who is hurting, maybe feeling a little bit hopeless, feeling a little bit desperate. And I pray for that person that they would find their worth and value in you and you alone, that they would not need a man or a woman to feel whole or complete. But at the same time, you would bless that part of their being that cries out for happiness with somebody and help them to find a really good, healthy, godly connection. And may it be so, Jesus, in your name.
Lord, I just thank you and echo what Greg has said. And I'm just grateful, Lord God, for this time and for those who are just taking time to listen or to watch this. I'm praying, Lord God, that we will just be able to show them what it feels like to be loved by you,
yes,
in
Jesus.
Real time.
Yes.
And so, Lord God, I'm just thanking you for that love in real time. And Lord, I'm just praying that you will be with each and every one of them and help them to just feel your presence. And thank you, Lord, for helping them to just laugh with us and cry with us and just to connect. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, folks, be sure and if you would, please like us and share us. That's one of the good ways you can get the word out about this podcast. Give us a little rating on your podcast platform. This is available throughout all audio podcast platforms as well as YouTube. Leave us a review if you would. And again, questions in the comments section if you have those for us. But thank you so very much for joining us on this first outing of Love in Real Time. Ooh, I like your profile. I'm Greg.
I'm Nikki.
And until the next time, folks, thank you so very much. May God's blessings be with you. Should we dance out of this thing? I'm not a dancer, by the way.